Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Bethany Kelly, your host for Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. With me today is our leading lady, Carol Soloway, author of Sex Happens, a novel. Now, Carol Soloway is a qualified medical examiner with the state of California and is debuting her first novel. She is also a motivating and inspiring speaker who appears on national stages. She was a final nominee for the 2017 San Diego Women of Influence Awards in the Author of Influence category. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Bethany.
It's so great to have you here with us today. We are going to be talking today about your novel, Sex Happens. It is a stay-up-all-night portrait of a contemporary family, Alexandra's bittersweet journey of love, loss, and sexuality leads her to a miraculous discovery of self and power. And let me say, I have read it, and it is a stay-up-all-night kind of book. It's a real page-turner. So I'm so delighted to have you here today with us, Carol. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So I am so excited to start diving in and asking you questions about this book. This is your first novel, and so you're a medical examiner, and you used to be a chiropractor. So what just inspired you one day to decide to write a novel?
Well, several careers ago, I was an English teacher, and that's what English teachers do. I just had been writing, dabbling, and taking classes, even Squaw Valley. I don't know if your listeners have heard of Squaw Valley, but it's a week where we go and there's Sweet Home Alabama, Mark Childress, all these amazing authors. And then I just decided I can do this, and I started writing. But then I became committed to writing. I had melanoma twice, and I got over it, and I decided, you know what, that divorce, it just didn't let me go. And I reevaluated my life, and I think Nora Ephron said it the best: marriages come and go, but divorce lasts forever. And so I decided that there had to be other women out there who were, you know, disappointed, maybe even devastated, and I wanted to get the word out that there's life afterwards.
Fabulous. So, you know, this novel is a great novel. I if you're like me, I actually have to put myself on fairly tight restrictions. If I read novels too often, if they grab me, like this one did, it's very difficult to put down. So I tend to read novels only on vacation when I have all the time in the world. But, you know, this novel, this is such an interesting story, and it's a page-turner. And what, in writing it and for the reader, what are you hoping that the reader takes away with them? Obviously there is the enjoyment and the experience of the great story and the good storytelling, but is there any sort of deeper underlying, you know, themes or messages that are important to you?
Well, first thing was entertainment. You know, they will not be able to figure out the ending and twists and turns. So there, because no one's going to go on the journey unless they're willing. So it
sure.
was mostly enjoyment. And then I think one of the lines says, sometimes when we lose the ones we love the most, we find ourselves. And that's what I'm hoping. Mm. As women, we so often give power, you know, give our ego, our power for our self-worth to others. And what I'm hoping is that the reader will see how important it is to be enough.
That's so great. That's such an important message for women today. So when you started writing, you were dabbling, and then you made a commitment, and you really, you finished this novel. And can I just say how grateful I am that you did, because you certainly can do this, and that epiphany moment where you realized, I can do this, that was absolutely true. So I'm so delighted that you followed through and actually did it. How long did it take you to write the book?
Oh, well, and I do want to say something else. Another thing I want to tell women about, a takeaway, and especially you're involved in an organization where women are supporting other women. And that was the key, because in this book, there's a First Friday book club, a group of women who support each other. And as women, we need that community so much. And that's a take, because when I went through, I didn't know anybody. We just moved to California. So that's another takeaway. Now I'll tell you how long it took.
Okay.
It's
a great takeaway, by the way.
It took me 10 years. Only because, I know, you know, what is it? 10 years to birth this baby, the longest gestation, longer than an elephant, right?
Sure.
But I work full time, still do, and, you know, have lots of kids, family, and we're waiting for our 12th grandchild. And
wow.
So, I know. So there was no, it couldn't be my number one focus during the past 10 years. It just couldn't.
Sure, but I love that you just kept going, even if it was something that you could only devote a small amount of time to. You did, and you just persistently continued. And I think that's something that a lot of authors discount, is they feel that if they don't have all, if they can't get it all done and they can't put a priority on it, then they're not going to do it. And in fact, even if it does take you 10 years, if you just keep working on it as you have time, and as you can, you will eventually get it done. So I think that's a great success story, especially as women, as busy women, and you know, you work full time and you have family. It's easy to let some of our own creative pursuits fall by the wayside because they don't seem as important. So I love it when I hear someone like you has just continued on and continued to do it and give it attention, even if it's just small amounts over a long period of time.
Well, they jump in the characters, you know, they jump in the car with me, they're in the shower, so I couldn't put it away. They just kept appearing.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And so I'm guessing that in those 10 years you had plenty of time to write and rewrite and refine. Or was that 10 years to get the first draft done?
No, I would say the first draft was easy. It was the revision that took the time. I mean, the story was there. I did do my research. I went to, because even though I did not have custody of my children, which was, this is a sentence that I could not say for 20 years, but now I can. And I didn't go through the custody battle, so I did go to the courthouse and watched the proceedings, spoke to judges, so I did do the research along the way.
Right. Right. Wow. That's amazing. So when you got close and you were like, okay, my book is, you know, is done as I can get it, where did you reach out for help and support? At what point did it become important to you to get some other, to get some support?
I decided that it was time to publish. And if that's the question you're asking, are we at publishing yet?
Sure,
okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I decided that, okay, it's time. And I was going to put it up by myself on CreateSpace or whatever. And I decided that that would be too amateurish. So I was referred to you with Publishing Partners, and I thought my book was complete at that point. But some of the comments I got was that the main character needed a little tweaking, and I didn't know how to do it. And you sent me to sites, gave me clues, and the process after that, after I got the character to where I wanted her, was a no-brainer for me. I mean, you took it and ran with it. So I didn't, mm-hmm. No, you didn't, because I'm so anal as an English teacher that I had to do, even after I gave it to you to put up, I did 5 more revisions running down to San Diego with my corrections, re-correcting. So, that was the process. Even when I thought it was finished, it wasn't.
Sure.
But now it is.
Well, a lot of people, now it is. It's finished and it's up there and it's beautiful. And a lot of people that I work with that come to me with a finished book and they're like, yeah, now we're ready. I'm ready to publish it. And like you, there are people who want to get a quality product, but they don't necessarily have the time or the inclination to learn everything that would need to be learned in order to create a quality product. So, you know, at Publishing Partner, that's what one of the things we provide is a sort of seamless experience. So all of the pieces get put together. But a lot of people think that they're done, and often they are, but more often there is usually something or one or two little things that still need doing in order to really complete the manuscript. And, you know, one thing I just think is amazing about you, Carol, is at the time that you came to me, the book was in good shape, and you could have just published it. I mean, it would have been fine. But you took some of these comments that people had given you, some of the readers had given you, that the character didn't feel really strong, or that the character could use a little more development. And you were like, well, I can imagine if you've been writing it for 10 years that you really wanted it to be a knock it out of the park. So you went sort of the extra mile to go a layer deeper and really work on that character. And I think that I think you really succeeded. And if the 45 plus reviews, oh, more than 45 now, the 45 reviews on Amazon by some perfect strangers who bought and read her book are any indication, it seems like you really hit the nail on the head with that.
Well, I think hit the nail on the head was that an LA agent did pick it up and is trying to sell it for a movie. I mean, that was hitting the nail on the head as far as I was concerned.
Absolutely. That is absolutely right. That is so true, and congratulations on that. So now that the book is published, tell us a little bit about where our readers can get the book, or where they can find out more information about you or contact you if they would like.
Sure. It's on Amazon and it's a Kindle. I also just heard it was in Target. I don't even know how that was possible. Someone just contacted me. And my website is www.sexhappensanovel.com. And they can contact me. I also will do Skype or teleconference for book clubs, and my number is 949 812-1110, and I can be contacted to do that. That would be really exciting. And I look forward to hearing from readers who've gone on this journey with me.
So. Fabulous. That's so great. So, you know, Carol, one thing that I think is amazing about you is that since the book launched, which it launched in, let me just check and see,
November 29th.
November 29th, 2016, you have been promoting it relentlessly. And I would love to hear from you a little bit about the kinds of things that you've been doing. You went on a book tour. You have done a lot of speaking, a lot of interviews. Tell us a little bit about that, what that's looked like.
I'm calling you from the book tour. my husband and I have an RV. We just got an RV, and we are going across the country in this RV. And we're made it to Florida from California. I am speaking at several women's groups. I even spoke at the Pacific Club in Orange County. And I'm talking about keys to success for women, this being my number one success. Even though I've had a fabulous practice, built it from zero to, you know, just six-figure in a matter of several years, and it's just going amazingly. But this is my number one achievement. And if anybody wants to, you know, insight, input, I forgot to give my email. So it's csolowaye, S-O-L-O-W-A-Y, @ca.rr.com. So I'd be happy to give anybody tips and, you know, recommendations. But the journey has been, what do I call this RV trip, our frontal lobotomy tour, because we're going across the country. And my husband has never driven anything larger than a car before, and we're doing it.
Wow.
Just lost his phone the first day, and what did they do? They called one of the children, and they thought, okay, they're never going to make it out of California, let alone across the country. And I'm speaking at mostly women's groups. The other night in Miami, actually, 90% of the audience bought the book, which was shocking. One lady in the middle raised her hand and said, "I just bought it on Kindle. I couldn't believe it." But more importantly, it's to empower women and show that we can do anything if we have a community, put our mind, and are committed, really.
Beautiful. I love that.
So we have half the trip left. Half the trip left.
Wow. That is so cool. And so what inspires you about this book tour, and was harder than you were expecting it to be?
Well, that's a hard question because the RV is in the shop right now. And we've been in my
sister. Okay, so we could just say that. It's the hard.
Forget that.
So,
no, but it's all under warranty, so we're happy. And I got to spend time with my sister, which was not planned. The inspiration is really, you know, that we can do whatever we set our mind to. I still go back 1 week a month to do my job to California. But we're doing it. I mean, just plan it, write it down, and go for it.
I love that. I really, really love that. And besides the book tour, haven't you been doing a lot of interviews and blogging, not blogging, but some of the book bloggers have picked you up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, just a couple of book bloggers. It was the first day it came out on number one, on page one on Google. So
Yay.
That was really exciting. Different, yes, if I speak, I get invited to be on blog radio, invited to women's groups. So it's been snowballing. And that's
wonderful.
Been really exciting.
And did you have any idea that this would be the result when you were chugging away during those 10 years writing your book?
Oh, when we write in a vacuum, we have no. It's almost been, especially, you know, the working with the agent, with the screenwriter. I mean, that's like never in a million years. Never.
Right.
And the reviews, no, it was a hobby. And now it's become this passion.
Right.
So, I never thought about that.
Well, congratulations. I mean, you have done so well. And I love your story. It's so real, and it is so, and it's so encouraging because anyone who just consistently and persistently continues their writing, even if they don't have time to make it their full-time career, can find that they can create something amazing, and then it can blossom into something incredible over time. What would be the advice that you would give an author or an aspiring author that is like you? Or like if you could go back and advise your, 10 years ago, the self that was starting to write the book, what advice would you give, both either on the motivational encouragement side or on the practical side?
Number one, to join a writing group. That was critical. Mm-hmm. I took a class at UCI, and then the teacher invited some people to join a critique group. So I would say definitely, and I didn't do that until like 5 years into the process, because I wasn't serious about it. I have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
My job was critical. It was overwhelming. I mean, I'm working 60 hours a week as a chiropractor and this medical legal. So I would say definitely have a critique group where you're responsible for writing a certain number of pages each week. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, there were weeks where my writing was stellar. There were other weeks where throw it in the garbage, start over. But that's really needed because you can't write in a vacuum, because it will be a book that only you will read.
That's true. And so the critique groups would give you what kind of feedback?
One positive comment and the rest go for the throat.
Okay. Did you just grow thick skin, or how did you respond to that? Because that's got to be tough.
Oh, it was brutal. But no, I didn't ever grow thick skin. I could go back there tomorrow and I'd still but your craft, and then you had me do a series of exercises. The snowflake
mm-hmm.
principle, which really
yeah.
helped also. I mean, in going to seminars, that really helped immensely. But yeah, taking classes, even being an English teacher. I mean, I was an English teacher. I have a master's in English for years, but yet you need the feedback.
Right. Yeah, because there's more to writing a good novel than just stringing the words together on a page. There's plot and character and scenes, and the way that they all interact together is fairly complex. So, you know, you have to be able to do more than simply write to be able to write a good novel. So I second that. Getting the education and getting more information helps you to develop your craft, helps you to expand outside of what you're currently capable of. And I think that your book is a perfect illustration of someone who succeeded at that.
Well, I was very, very aware of tying up every loose end. I mean, every single thing had to, as far as I was concerned, had to have a reason for being there and had to be tied up at the end.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think you did that.
But not in a predictable way.
Right.
And I think that the other key, even more important,
sure,
than the critique group is reading. I mean, I read everything I can get my hands on that was written by authors in a similar genre.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And what was your mental process as you read those things? How would you look at it? Because when you read just for enjoyment, it's different than if you're reading to understand something. So when you would read a lot in your genre, was there anything particular you were looking for or that you were focusing on or that would stand out to you or anything about the process of that?
Yes. I have to say, Leanne Moriarty, the way she peeled the onion, you know, I was reading and studying every book I would read. I would study and write in the margins, and it had to be like, I hope a reader will take from my book that it was like peeling the onion, getting the main character's background, her mother, father, why she did everything. That was what I tried to present.
Right. Yes, and it definitely shows. So you definitely want to go get this book, get it on Amazon, go to Carol's website, sexhappensanovel.com. You'll be able to get more information, watch a beautiful video of her. There's a lot there. Thank you so much, Carol, for being our leading lady today and for sharing so openly your experience. We've really appreciated it. Any final words?
Yes, it's a book about marriage, motherhood, sex, and what we'll do for each. Sex Happens.
Fabulous. So thank you so much, Carol, and thanks to all of our listeners. We will be back again. We are here every Monday and Friday at 9 a.m., and next Friday, our leading lady will be Sandy Marshall, founder and president of Project Scientist, and she's going to be talking about STEM education, so that's an interview you won't want to miss. I am Bethany Kelly, host of Amazing Authors and Brilliant Books. Thank you for listening, and please keep reading, keep writing, and never forget the power of the written word.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.